بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. In the previous session we were talking about the Battle of Uhud. We started talking about it when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to know that the Kuffar of Quraysh have left Makkah Mukarramah with an army of 3,000 warriors. And as I'm explaining at that time, that these 3,000 people that were with the Kuffar of Quraysh, they were not just people from the general public, they were trained people. And these were the people that came and joined from all different tribes. So the tribes selected their warriors, strong people amongst them, and they joined this army of Quraysh. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gathered Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, consulted them, and we talked about this portion. His opinion was we should stay in Medina and defend ourselves, and some other Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in were very strong in their opinion that no, we should go out of Medina. And finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took their opinion and they went out towards Uhud. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had informed the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in by now that he had seen a dream. And the dream was that he was wearing a shield and he saw that a cow was being slaughtered. And he moved his sword, so when he moved it for the first time, the top part of the sword broke down, and then he moved it again, and the sword came back into its original shape, and in fact, better than what it was originally. Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi ajma'in asked him, what does this mean, Ya Rasulullah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wearing the shield means Medina Munawwara, that shield is Medina Munawwara, that if we stay in Medina, that will be the best protection for our souls. Cow being slaughtered means one of my close people will be killed. Sword getting broken at the first place means that initially we will have to go through some difficulty, and then later on the sword became in a better form than it was before, which means the ending results will be in our favor. Anyway, Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, now they were hoping they would not have mentioned their opinions after hearing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's opinion, or they would not have been so strong with their opinions. But it was done. They tried to convince Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now to change his mind and they would stay in Medina, and he said, no, this is not allowed for any Prophet of Allah once he walks out to come back. So we have to now go out. There was a place between Medina and Uhud. Uhud is about 3 miles, was 3 miles from Medina. Nowadays is part of Medina to the extent that now the population of Medina have gone beyond Uhud. So if a person goes around the mountain of Uhud and behind the mountain, there is a large population now behind the mountain of Uhud, because the population of Medina is increasing continuously, and although it's considered very small comparing to Makkah, but it still have gotten very big comparing to what it was before. In fact, if anyone have seen the recent masjid after the new construction, this recent masjid is bigger than what Medina was in those days. In fact, you may be surprised to hear that this recent masjid may be little bigger than the Medina that we have seen in our childhood. Couple of our homes that we used to live in, they are now within that place, within that construction of the masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he was going, there was a place between Medina and Uhud called Shaykhain. And the reason for that place to be called Shaykhain, Shaykhain is the form for two people, two sheikh. There was an old man used to live on one of the mountains there, And there was another mountain totally the opposite of that, and an old lady used to live there. And this is why people started calling these two, that area, the area of Sheikhin, the two elderly people. Over there, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looked at the whole army and he made sure that no young children are there, and he gave them the proper instructions, and then they continued towards the mountain of Uhud. They performed Salatul Fajr by Uhud. That was 15th of Shawwal, Saturday, the third year of the Hijrah. The Kuffar were in a big rush and hurry to start the battle, and therefore they kept on sending messages to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, quick, we are ready to start, we want to start and we want to go ahead. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the sunrise he prepared the army, and the way he situated the army was that mountain of Uhud was behind them and Medina was in front. And in the area behind them there was a small opening between the mountains where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam assigned 50 archers to stay over there so that no one will have an access to come and attack the Muslim army from the back. Keeping in mind that the Kuffar of Quraysh had arrived there earlier, before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why didn't the Kuffar take that position? If you look at it from the strategy of a war and of an army, you may think that this was one of the best positions over there. That no one can attack from the back. You're secure from the back. It's only there is a small opening. You assign some people over there. And now all you have to worry is the front. The reason Kuffar did not take that position, with the fear, what if we have to run away? Where are we going to go to? If we are defeated, then there is no way to go anywhere but the mountain behind us, and by the time we climb the mountain, we will be done. But for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was out of question that anyone will be running away. When he assigned those 50 people, he also assigned an Amir to them. And that was a Sahabi with the name Abdullah ibn Jubayr radiallahu anhu. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told these Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim, these 50 archers, make sure no one moves out of here until I call you. If you see that we have won, don't come. If we see that Kuffar are cutting us into pieces, don't come down to help us. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went down and he prepared the rest of the people. And he made this announcement, who would take my sword and fulfill the right of the sword? Many of the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in raised their hands, Ya Rasulullah, we would do it. Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiyallahu anhu said, I was one of the first one to raise my hand. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave it to another Sahabi whose name was Abu Dujana radiyallahu anhu. Abu Dujana radiyallahu anhu was a Sahabi who was known for his bravery. When he walked into the field, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him walking with his chest out, you know, as a person would walk with arrogance. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him and he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like this way of walking, except in this place. So over here is fine, but make sure I never see you walking like this anywhere else. A beautiful message. Where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is really telling the ummah how natural this deen is, how applicable to human nature. Anything that Allah has created in the nature of a human being is needed sometime. It's only learning the right use of it. With that type of feeling that I'm going to do something, the person is walking with that type of feelings and showing people, here, come, let me show you. It's needed some time. But in normal situation, a person should not be behaving like that. Just like many times when a question of anger comes and we try to convince people that you should just throw anger out of your life. This is not true. And this is not what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. Anger is something that is created in human nature, is part of our nature. And there are right uses for it. If you throw that anger totally out, now someone comes and he's trying to burn your home down. You know, no, I'm not supposed to get angry. You're going to laugh at the person, smile with him, joke with the person, okay, you're burning my house, I'm not getting angry. Go ahead, do it. No, there are uses, right uses for all of these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in the human nature. And this is what Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam always did. They taught us the right use of our nature. When the person learns the right use of it, then everything will be put into use in a right way. And when a person does not learn it from Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, then of course people don't know the right use of their own nature. Now they are getting angry at the wrong place. They want to make joke. And this is part of human nature. You know, you get happy, you make a joke. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us the right place of making joke or what are the right means and ways of enjoying our lives. So everything has been told in this deen. And when people don't learn it from Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, then they make major mistakes with it. Anyway, Abu Dujana radiallahu anhu walked away with it. And inshallah, later on we will talk more about Abu Dujana radiallahu anhu. Kuffar of Quraysh also prepared their armies, Abu Sufyan, who later on became Muslim radiallahu anhu. Abu Sufyan was the commander-in-chief for the Kuffar. The Kuffar had 200 horses in their army. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had 2 horses in his army. 3,000 people versus 700 people on this side. These are all the Muslims that were available there. Those are selected people from all different clans of Quraysh and outside of Quraysh from all around Arabia. The way he situated his army was, on the right hand side, he assigned 100 people on horses under the command of Khalid ibn al-Walid. On the left hand side, he assigned another 100 people on horses under the command of Ikrimah bin Abu Jahl, the son of Abu Jahl. Now, we need to understand what does it mean when we say 100 camels on one side, 100 horses on one side and 100 horses on the other side. Remember, these horses in those days were just like the tanks nowadays. If there are people in the middle, to protect these people, you have tanks on both sides. So no one can get to these people that are in the middle. Because these horses are fast running horses, they run. And human beings, they are below the horse. No matter how fast they can run, they are below it. And a person sitting in the horse can very easily attack the people that are on their feet. And then this person can keep on going back and forth very quickly with his horse. And the person on his feet, of course, he is all depending on his own energy and on his own power or strength of running, of standing, of fighting. So there is a big difference. So here, these two, the army is in between these two tanks, we can say 100 camel, 100 horses on the right hand side and 100 horses on the left hand side. And then he assigned 2 chiefs for the people that were on their feet. One was Safwan bin Umayyah. And the reason he selected Safwan bin Umayyah, because his father Umayyah ibn Khalaf had been killed in the Battle of Badr. And Same thing with Ikrimah bin Abi Jahl. His father Abu Jahl was killed in the Battle of Badr. And then he assigned another person whose name was Amr bin Ru'ath. And he had some of his close relatives that were killed in the Battle of Badr also. So you see Amr bin Ru'ath, Ikrimah bin Abi Jahl, Khalid bin Walid, and Safwan bin Umayyah, and Abu Sufyan himself. Five leaders that are leading the whole battle. The reason I mentioned this name, these names, I know that many of us will remember it by the end of the session, but I wanted to make a point and remind ourselves of something very important. And that is, all five of them later on became Muslims. These are the people who are leading the kuffar. All five of them became Muslims. And this is the beauty of this deen. It attracted people who had devoted their lives to oppose the deen of Allah, to oppose the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Finally, a day came when these people came and they put their hands in the hands of the Prophet of Allah. Oh Prophet of Allah, I'm here to take the Shahada. And these are only five names that I mentioned just because we were talking about the situation. Otherwise, you would see that most of these leaders or their close relatives, they became Muslims. After this, the kuffar, of course, they are in hurry now to start the war because they see themselves. They see that how many horses they have, how many strength they have, how many warriors they have. And they see that these Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, most of them, they don't even have a shield on their body. I mean, they're looking at it as so easy that we can just be throwing some arrows on these people and the person is gone, is done. Because he has no shield. So, there is no protection for most of these people. First thing, a person came out whose name was Amir, Abu Amir. This Abu Amir, before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina Munawwara, he was a resident of Medina. And he was the leader of the clan of Aus. That was a well-known clan in Medina Munawwara. And this was the person who had given up the worship, worshipping the idols and everything. And he used to be just sitting somewhere in one of the caves and doing the ibadah of Allah. He's known as Abu Amir al-Rahib. This is what Rahib means, the people, those priests that used to go out in the jungles and then just be doing the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this person was known as a Rahib, that the person who just does the ibadah of Allah, and he's inviting people to it. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina Munawwara, the reality of this person came up. And that was, this person got jealous of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that people are following him, and I have been inviting people to this ibadah for a long time, and how come they didn't follow me? See what jealousy and hatred does. Doesn't allow the people to see the truth. If this is what you were doing, so mashallah, here you have someone who is doing the work better than you can, so why